The numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Good Thursday morning to you. It is a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, and of course, SiriusXM Channel 158. Gil Alexander, Kelly Bidlin, everybody, producer number 9, so much more than a producer. How you doing, man?
Doing good. How about you?
You've really locked into the two-finger salute.
A little hey. How you doing?
I'm doing very well, except the computer really doesn't want to work this morning.
That's always a problem.
All right, we're good. Zach and Crack Thursdays, everybody. Zach Cohen coming up, VSiN senior editor, to talk multiple sports. Of course, Super Bowl 59 front and center, but he'll have some NBA thoughts, maybe some tennis. Zach actually had a great sort of tennis dissertation on something. I don't know if this is the time or place for that, but we'll get to it. Are we sure? National Football League. Are we sure? Estamos seguros. Super Bowl 59 edition coming up. Kelly asked me some questions. I fire back if we're sure or not. Super Bowl MVP. A little historical breakdown on Super Bowl MVP. Can that lead us to a bet or not? Does it help lead us to a bet? And of course, the other part of that Zach and Crack team, Bill Krakenberger, joining us unscripted for hour number two. You made a great comment off air. I'd like to pull back the curtain here. You were like, has Crack ever asked what the Zach part of the duo is? Because I think Zach knows what the Crack part is, right. But we don't know if Crack knows what the Zach part is. Anyway, we'll find if he knows.
I'd be like, I have a feeling, Gil, that Bill Krakenberger isn't following everything that Zach Cohen
probably
is
not
doing. But I could be wrong. Maybe he's very well aware of who he is.
And of course, now, you know, after yesterday's comment that was made via Twitter, we're going to like think the whole time Zach is talking, does he sound exactly like Jeff Parlay?
I am looking for the most to that segment today, Gil, just for that, because my mind was blown yesterday with how many people tweeted
that. You stepped on the Jeff Parlay part of that. Some people missed that. We had a tweet yesterday that said Zach sounds exactly like the Grover Cleveland of producers, Jeff Parlay. So we'll see if we can remain undistracted by that. I want to start with a couple things here, though, because, first of all, tennis picks. Can I do that?
Yep.
Yesterday, sorry about that, guys, 0-2 on the tennis picks. Doesn't usually happen around here on the show, but we did go 0-2 on the remaining tennis plays that existed yesterday. So if you're only getting them from the show, sorry about that. We are now, these are all at VSiN.com/picks. So the only ones that we're getting here are the ones in Europe. If they were in Singapore beforehand, which was the case yesterday, there's different results for subscribers. Again, VSiN.com/picks. Every host, every guest, every sport, all at VSiN.com/picks for subscribers. this morning we are on, there was one other play. We're on Jesper DeJong, who's up a set right now, is a +146 dog in Montpellier. But here on the show itself, what remains in Montpellier on indoor hards, Mattia Bellucci over Alexander Kovacevic. That is coming up a little later on this morning. You could actually get better price than I did. I think he's a slight plus money price now on Bellucci. I got him at -106, so that's not a good CLV thing. And then a little later on, and this is right around the same price, Nicholas Basilashvili over Artur Rinderknecht, who is a French player. So it's a little home game for Rinderknecht, but fading him with Nicholas Basilashvili. So Bellucci and Basilashvili, the law firm, remaining tennis picks for today, in case you want to go back at it a little after the show. To Super Bowl 59, sir.
Those are some names today.
Yes.
Oh boy.
Oh, we forgot. I forgot. I should have you pronouncing them.
Kovacevic.
Kovacevic. Yeah.
Kovacevic.
Yeah. Yeah. Nice job. Why don't you give a crack at old Basilashvili?
I actually did. I had to do a double take at first when I was punching these in because what is it? Mattia Bellucci.
Yeah.
At first, I was thinking female, and then I got to Alexander, and I'm like, oh, no, I don't think so.
Tell you which one it is.
Men's tennis.
There you go. So we have 2 weeks, obviously, as everybody does, to discuss Super Bowl 59. And as part of what we do here, we try to uncover any possible angle that people might be wondering about, because you have 2 full weeks. For God's sakes, we did a whole Kendrick Lamar Drake beef breakdown yesterday to see if it might help us with a first song at halftime bet. Someone was asking on Twitter, and forgive me for not remembering who this was, but they were asking me, hey, could you do a whole thing on the referee for Super Bowl 59? Okay, here's how I would just, again, just to cover every base here. Before the AFC Championship, This was probably a viable question because everybody has the conspiracy theory about the Chiefs getting all the calls. And so the NFL very quietly put Cleet Blakeman in as the referee. And I think the Chiefs, I don't think this was going into that game, the Chiefs AFC Championship win over the Bills. Blakeman, the Chiefs were 5-6 straight up when Blakeman was the ref. You guys can take that down for now. We're getting to that. Home teams under Blakeman were 5-11, right? So the NFL was cleverly trying to create a situation where no one could claim that the incoming ref for the AFC Championship was biased in favor of the Chiefs, right? So 5-6 straight up, the Chiefs were with Blakeman as ref. Home teams in his games were 5-11 straight up this season. The Bills were 6-2 when Blakeman was the ref, right? And then he was a top three ref in both roughing the passer and also unnecessary roughness. And the perception was that Mahomes gets all of those calls and or the Chiefs get all those in their favor, when in fact it's actually Josh Allen.
Yeah.
Over the last 5 years, 172 combined roughing the passers and unnecessary roughness calls on Buffalo and Kansas City. 59% actually went in favor of Buffalo, 41%. Or 59% of those went in favor of Buffalo, 41% to Kansas City.
I don't think I ever saw the combined one before. That was good. I saw the roughing the passer numbers, but I didn't see. It's good to include the others, too.
I just want to point that out to say, for a Super Bowl, that doesn't really apply, because in a Super Bowl, it's an all-star team. So I'll get the verbiage here correctly. The NFL selects its officiating crew for the Super Bowl based on an evaluation system that is calculated throughout the season. The league's highest rated officials at each position are selected based on the league's internal evaluation criteria to work the Super Bowl. The only caveat being only officials who have worked in the NFL for 5 years are eligible for selection in the Super Bowl. So the official, the referee for the Super Bowl is Ron Torbert. Now you guys can throw that up. Now, Ron Torbert, you can't really, again, because it's a amalgamation of officials. First of all, Torbert as a ref, in case you did care, last 5 years, Eagles are 5-3 straight up, including 2-0 this year. Chiefs are 2-1 last 5 years with Torbert as the official, 0-0. He did not work a Chiefs game this season. So the point being, though, that even beyond that, if you were looking for some kind of angle here, you know, every other official, with the exception of one, the side judge, Boris Cheek. You know Boris Cheek's work.
Boris Cheek, yeah.
That's a name.
That's a name.
Boris Cheek, this will be his fourth Super Bowl. For Torbert, the ref, it's his second. Everybody else, it's their first Super Bowl. And this is not the crew that works together. So we can kind of toss out, just in case anybody was still curious, because we did get this question, we can sort of toss out anything related to the refs, in my opinion. However, Chiefs conspiracy theorists, or anti-Chiefs folks, right?
Yeah.
Will recall one little thing that I do think, if I'm being thorough, I should bring up, which is the AFC Championship 2 years ago. So not 3 years ago when the Bengals beat the Chiefs, but 2 years ago when the Chiefs eventually beat the Bengals 23-20. You may recall there was a play at 20-20 with over 10 minutes left. Do you remember this sequence where the Chiefs had a 3rd-and-9, scores 20-20, just a little over 10 minutes left. The Chiefs have a 3rd-and-9. They run a play. They get a 5-yard gain. They got a punt. 4th-and-4, right? They run off the field literally 30 seconds to 45 seconds pass, which is an eternity. And then we find out from Ron Torbert and his crew, that was not a play. And remember, it was, I don't know if you remember this, and Romo was like, oh, Jim, they're going back onto the field. They're going for it on 4th. And Lance had to be like, no, that play apparently didn't count. So they had to sort it out with Sterator.
I don't remember this. Okay.
And then, so they ran another 3rd-and-9 play. Mahomes got sacked, but they called a defensive hold on the Bengals. So the drive extended. Now, the Chiefs still had to punt eventually, and they win on a late field goal to beat the Bengals and advance to the Super Bowl, the one that they beat the Eagles in, as a matter of fact. But anyway, that's the only Ron Torbert conspiracy angle you could possibly use. So if something like that happens in the Super Bowl, knock yourselves out.
Like you said, we got 2 weeks leading up to this. We talk about almost everything when it comes to this game. Worth noting, though, how much in your regular NFL betting do you factor in referee information regardless?
Close to zero.
Yeah, me too. Okay. Unless there is an extreme outlier.
Yes. If there's an extreme outlier and it somehow comes into our sphere, then maybe a little something.
I feel like I even have to see the guy like 2 weeks before. Like, it's like this guy's calling a lot of pass interference. And I had money on a game where pass interference cost me like three times. Then I get on board.
Anyway, like I said, 2 weeks, we'll just try to, you know, be thorough about everything. We did the first song or halftime yesterday. You know what we didn't do? National anthem length over under. You want to do a little of that?
Let's go.
John Batiste, New Orleans native, or at least Louisiana native, is going to do the national anthem. Now, there is a couple, you know, videos of him doing this on YouTube. It's not a null set. There's one that is just him on the piano, no vocals, which lasts 1:42. And then there's another one where he does sing. This is from an NBA event in 2017. That one goes 1:33. So a grand total of 93 seconds. For those who don't know, Batiste is a national treasure. He is an unbelievable musician. He's a songwriter. He's won an Oscar. He's won a Golden Globe. He's won a Grammy. I mean, he is just wildly talented. But he is more of he's mainly known for his work on the keyboard. By the way, he'll break out a guitar, too, if he needs to. Because one of the national anthems was like Hendrix-style electric guitar.
Oh, really?
He threw in after the keyboard.
I was going to say, what does he have, a shaky voice if he only sung in some of them?
It's not a shaky voice, but that's not like what he's known for. Okay. My point being is even the evidence suggests this is going to be way low. I also think that he's going to do, my guess is, longer keyboard riffs at the beginning and at the end. And remember, when these are graded, it's words sung from beginning to end. So to me, this is way under the 125 seconds. That's 2:05 that this is lined at. Now, the under is juiced at -165. I don't think it's juiced enough. That'd be my take on the national anthem. Under with a bullet. Zach Cohen, first part of the Zach and Crack team. On the other side, a little NBA, a little NFL. That's next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Ready to elevate your barbecue game? You need Sewell's barbecue sauce, the ultimate crowd pleaser for your next cookout. What started as a backyard recipe in a mason jar has grown into a southern sensation, winning over taste buds from Georgia to the Carolinas. Whether you're basting smoky ribs, saucing up tender wings, or crafting the perfect burger. Oh man, I'm hungry. Sewell's barbecue sauce brings bold, unforgettable flavor to every bite. Order yours today at sewellsbarbecuesauce.com. That's SewellsBBQSauce.com. Sewell's barbecue sauce, because great barbecue starts with great sauce. We get tweets at Beating the Book. A lot of response to our Kendrick Lamar segment yesterday and to the Beating the Book 14th annual Vegas Lifestyle edition, which we did with Mark Meltzer, Steve Fezzik, and Bill Krakenberger yesterday. John Louis chimes in on that. He says, a national treasure. Thank you, John. Appreciate that. This is from P. Majeski, a tradition like no other. Talking about the Megapod Vegas Lifestyle. Enjoyed this a lot, as always, from Reload Sports. That's Joseph Frieda. This from, let's see here, Barnett Kenny. Great listen, as always. Got to get Ace back on next year. Yeah, here's the thing with asking Ace, though. Ace, he set the bar so high with the, off-color stuff of Vegas that he feels too much pressure to sort of live up to it.
Yeah, I remember that one.
Hey, Dave Tooley chimes in. Always a fun annual listen about the Vegas Lifestyle. He puts lifestyle in quotes. Yeah. I was thinking about that title that we had, A Man's Guide, for 14 years. Is that allowed anymore that I'm allowed to say that? Grateful Mouse, thanks again for another stellar Beating the Book NFL season. Informative and entertaining every week. Thank you. Still got one more. Hopefully we can get Rufus to do some Super Bowl props with us. Canid Hammy, Nick Kenhammer, listening to you. This is from the Kendrick yesterday. Listening to you explain pop culture and rap beefs to Kelly was not on my bingo card yesterday.
So I'm the guy who's like old enough, Gil, that I don't like to Google things. I'd rather have a conversation about it.
Yeah.
Gil breaking down that beef for me was way better than anything I could have read.
It was condensed.
It was condensed because I knew about it a little bit, and then I feel far more educated after.
And you don't care enough to really Google it.
Right, exactly.
You
know? Yeah.
Thank you very much. Ice Cold Gambler Jason, very disappointed in Kelly not knowing not like us might want to start interviewing for producer number 10, Gil.
There was calls for JVT to take my job yesterday.
Yes, I saw that one.
That was actually just bad producing by me, because as soon as I knew JVT was coming up next and you started going in this, I'm like, I guarantee you he has thoughts on this.
He did. He definitely did.
Should have brought him in earlier.
Bobby Geddes, I gotta love Jason from yesterday, says, so he's quoting the conversation. He's doing a transcription. He says, Gil, so do you have any Super Bowl props or exotics? That's what I asked Jason. And Jason's response was, no, but I will remind everyone that the Mexican Pacific Baseball League just ended and we should discuss that Friday. never know where he's going to go.
Still waiting on Jason to get back to me about coming on Monday instead of Friday, since you're not going to be here tomorrow.
That's right. Yeah. I'm not here tomorrow. Joe Cirillo in for me.
Joe Cirillo in, yep.
Matt Ham 42, Earl, 10 years for me. Congrats on number 14 of the best pod of the year. Matt, or Earl, I'm not sure which his name is here, he has listened to this podcast for 10 of the 14 years. I'm super humbled by that. Thank you very much. Jason also adds, careful, Kelly. Oh, JBT might replace you, knowing his NBA and knowing his music. LOL. We'll save the rest for last because Zach Cohen is patiently waiting for us. Let's talk some Super Bowl 59 and some NBA with Zach Cohen, everybody, who joins us courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line, VSiN senior editor and part of the glue that holds this whole operation together. Zach, how you doing, man?
I'm doing well. How are you guys?
I'm doing well. On another day, and maybe it's the next Grand Slam tennis podcast we do, because I don't think this is the spot for it. Your dissertation on how bad the strategy that Carlos employed against Novak was fantastic, I thought. We got to do that another time.
Yeah, I'd love to. Maybe the next time when we do the French Open Megapod, we should get into it a little bit.
Okay. For that hardo audience, we will do that. Yep. Let's talk about the NBA for a second. And I'm curious, again, this is Kelly, you jump in here as well. Mm-hmm. This is talking about Defensive Player of the Year. I alluded to this at the end of yesterday's show. This is Michael Montesano, who, like me, like you, I think like all of us, had a Victor Wembanyama Defensive Player of the Year ticket from last year. And what he said was, he goes, last year the Spurs had an adjusted defensive efficiency that was number 22 in the NBA. They allowed 113.0 points per 100 possessions. This year, guess what? They're ranked 22nd again, allowing 112 points per 100 possessions. So exactly 1 point less, but the exact same ranking. He said, we said this last year that this was going to happen. I want apologies from all voters and all VSiN guests and hosts that said Wemby was not the Defensive Player of the Year last year. If he's going to win it this way, he has the exact same counting stats in defensive rebounds per game, plus blocks per game, plus steals per game. I remember specifically guests and hosts saying no one can win the Defensive Player of the Year if they're not on a top five defense, and they're correct. I did the deep dive from the last 15 years. But he's just saying, he's not saying Wemby doesn't deserve it, but he's saying you can't have it both ways. Agree or disagree, Zach?
Yeah, so you're saying if he wins it this year.
Yes, what he's saying is right. We called it that the same people who were like, we got to give it to Gobert because Wemby's on this terrible defense and everybody's going to give it to Wemby this year and they're still on a terrible defense. We called it. Yes, Zach? No?
Yeah. I mean, I just think that the difference this year is that we saw people were very upset with Gobert winning. And then in the playoffs, you know, he didn't play the best defense. I think the people went into this season saying it's going to be Wemby. And I kind of agree with Anthony Davis, who the other day said that there are just huge narratives that overtake these awards to make it hard for anyone else to win. So I think Wemby went in with the nod this year and has played well enough to keep it.
But these are the narratives. And I feel like, and I like them both, right? But I think like Brian Windhorst and Tim Bontemps, Timmy Goodtimes, have more influence over NBA awards markets than anyone else has in any other sport. So these narratives that are cultivated oftentimes start with them in a way that has far greater influence than it probably should.
Yeah,
I believe.
Completely agree. Yeah, completely agree. I think the only other point on Wemby is I think one of the other large factors last year was the rookie factor. So it's always I feel like every sport, right? Whether we're talking Jaden Daniels in the NFL this year, it's we're going to give him rookie of the year. How much consideration is he going to get for anything else, no matter how good he is? I think a little bit of that came into play last year.
What do you like in the NBA tonight, Zach?
Yeah, so I have a bad team for you tonight. I like the Jazz plus 7.5. In tonight's game, I think that it's an interesting situation where I think that Utah is a very bad team. I will acknowledge that, but they're 9-4 against the spread in their last 13 games. They've been playing, you know, close to even basketball when it comes to net rating, and they are playing a Timberwolves team that just played a really tough game in Phoenix last night. And I think that, you know, in the NBA, some of the best situations you get are teams on the second night of back-to-backs, especially when they are playing, you know, tough games the night before. You kind of have to throw out the record records, and I think that the Timberwolves are in a bad spot tonight, so I'll be on the Jazz +7.5. I'll probably take a little bit of the money line too, and then I'm looking at ways to play this Hawks-Cavs game, and I believe I'll be on Atlanta +10.5, and I also like DeAndre Hunter over 17.5 points because Jalen Johnson is out for the rest of the season. Hunter's now going to be playing 30-plus minutes every night. Hunter was already playing really well offensively in a six-man role, but now that he's going to be relied on a little bit more offensively, I think we're going to see some, you know, 18-plus, maybe even 20-plus performances pretty consistently moving forward.
It would not be a Zach Cohen segment without one of the NBA's poo-poo platter teams, and the Jazz are one of the picks. I like it.
Yeah.
Super Bowl 59. What are you betting on the side, the total, the prop? What are you doing?
Yeah, so I'm on the Eagles, and I wrote us up for the Super Bowl betting guide, and I wrote it up a little bit more in depth over at VSiN.com, but it's just you're choosing between two things. You're either taking the season-long resume of the Eagles, which is very, very impressive from an advanced stats standpoint, or you're, you know, throwing it all away and looking at, you know, the playoff success of Patrick Mahomes, and it's hard to blame anyone for going either way. I'm going with Philadelphia because I do think that, you know, what we've seen both offensively and defensively, being a top-five team in EPA per play on both, that's going to be very hard for me to go against in a one game setting. And obviously I'm a little bit nervous about what would happen if it's a close game late, maybe Mahomes steals it, but I do think that Philadelphia is going to be able to run the ball very successfully with Saquon Barkley. I wrote in that story, I think Dallas Goedert's going to have a huge game. I'm not alone in thinking that. I believe it's the most public bet in the Super Bowl so far, over 47.5 is what it was, up to 52.5 now, but I also sprinkled Goedert to lead the game in receiving yards too.
By the way, Goddard's totally not annoying when he hypes it up after every catch. Totally not annoying. I do love the way you couch that, though, Zach. That's the most succinct, I think, logical way of couching this Super Bowl, what you just said. This is really a referendum on Eagles season work, Chiefs career work. That's really what it comes down to.
Yeah, and I get why people do not want to go against Patrick Mahomes. I think last year in the Super Bowl, I got to the point this year where a lot of people are where I said, all right, I'm just going to take him to beat the 49ers. I'd rather have Mahomes in this game. But I do think the Eagles this year are a little bit more dangerous than that 49ers team last year.
Any prop that you are contemplating if you haven't bet already?
Yeah, so just the Goddard over 47.5 so far, and I have a little bit on Goddard +850 to leave the game in reception yards. I also am looking at Saquon Barkley to score 2+ touchdowns at +300. I think that there's really no value in taking him to score one, but I do think that scoring two is on the table. Obviously, we've seen him do it two games in a row now, and I do think Kansas City's rushing defense is a little bit vulnerable.
Okay, Zach, appreciate it as always. Super Bowl 59, 10 days away. Do I have that right? Still 10 days away.
Yeah, sounds right.
Super Bowl licks, as the kids call it. Thank you, Zach. Appreciate it, man.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you. Betting on X, by the way, for Zach on Twitter. The kids do not call it that. Gronk calls it that on that one commercial.
Thank God we're still using Roman numerals, you know? Really, yeah. Makes me feel like my elementary school education is coming. Yeah, it's really mattering now.
It's finally locked
in. That's right, yeah. Let's start writing in cursive again, too.
Are we sure? Estamos seguros? Next on the NFL Super Bowl edition. Coming back.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Get ready for big game 59 with a big deal. Score $59 off a VSiN Pro annual subscription when you sign up using promo code ANG. For just $181, you'll get a full year of VSiN Pro and access to everything we offer, including daily best bets, exclusive betting splits from DraftKings and Circus Sportsbooks, 24/7 video access, plus our Super Bowl betting guide with expert picks, predictions, and prop betting strategies to help you win big. This special offer ends after the Super Bowl, so don't miss out. Sign up today at VSiN.com/subscribe and use promo code ANG.
ANG as in a noble gentleman.
To get a full year VSiN Pro for just $181. That's VSIN.com/subscribe. I assume you're speaking of yourself.
Yeah, it's in my Twitter bio.
Oh, okay. A noble gentleman.
Kelly Bidlin, noble gentleman.
That's exactly what people think. They can't separate the two things. More tweets. We get tweets at Beatty the Book. Always appreciate it. Ryan Hyatt talking about the Megapod Vegas Lifestyle 14th edition. I learned more in 5 minutes. Oh, no, this is about Kendrick yesterday. Because I learned more in 5 minutes about music than I have in the last 5 years. I still don't know which side of the beef I'm supposed to be on. Can we get Casey and the Sunshine Band on speed dial for next week? Casey and the Sunshine Band, by the way, my first ever favorite group when I was a kid.
Really?
Oh, I loved Casey and the Sunshine Band. I didn't know what the songs were about.
I've heard you say that before. Yeah.
John Louis adds, need a best of show talking about the Megapod at some point, the Vegas Lifestyle ones. New listeners need Ace's PSA on how to avoid avoid getting trick rolled. Yes, they do. It's very big PSA. Steve Fezzik, who was on the show, he goes, drink for free and get free vacations to the Bahamas, world-class dining, $10 prime rib dinners, and so much more. Talking about the Lifestyle Pod yesterday. And do we have any more? Yeah. Dis Bloke here. Mark Meltzer, always excellent on this podcast. A fun listen. Thanks, fellas. Yes, Meltzer, the only person who's been on a Megapod every single year. Jerry Bose, great show again. Enjoyed it. And as far as this one here, let's go. Money Caperletti from about 20 minutes ago. So the NFL Bucks Cleet Blakeman, the trend for the Chiefs last week. Is that how this works? So he's still going with the conspiracy theory that, oh, that's, they threw us a curveball and then they bucked the trend. Ice Cold Gambler. Refs, umpires, I only factored in my bets was when Angel Hernandez was an ump. Thank God he's gone. Gone from baseball, not gone, if you know what I mean. Rob Smith, Bengals fan here, literally remember what you're talking about. A do-over. I'm 55. I've never seen it before and haven't seen it since. The play I was referring to earlier in the AFC Championship 2 years ago. Your Allen Mahomes stat needs to be filtered with second half in playoff games. Brian Schaefer talking about this tennis match that...
Wait, what is that supposed to be?
I didn't get that last part.
Like it, maybe he's getting more towards end of game
I think that's what I think that's what he's trying
Which is interesting, if true.
Yeah. Brian Schaefer, what happened in this DeYoung match? It says intermission, but it's indoors. What happened? Did a pipe break? Yeah, I was wondering if you could help me with that, Brian, because I'm just watching the score. It's in, they're playing now again, but there's been two stoppages in this match that we're, this is before the show, the DeYoung match. By the way, we're up a mini break in the second set, up one set as a plus 146 dog. What could possibly go wrong from here?
Oh, I'm sure you'll be fine.
Yeah, I'm sure we'll be fine.
I've done this enough with you. I'm sure you'll be fine.
I'm sure we'll be fine.
It looks like they're in a legit nice arena this time around, too.
Montpellier is nice, yeah.
Yeah, this isn't like a rinky-dink operation. Maybe some rain got in. Maybe there's a bat. You know, we've seen it all before.
Maybe there's a bat. That's right.
Someone called Manu.
ND Money. How's the weight loss going for Kelly? Quick update.
It's going well. I mean, over 50. I don't think I've hit 60 yet, so it's going well.
Are you trying to hit 60 and 70? Are you trying to lose more?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I'm going to try to get down to 220 is my goal.
All right. Don't be gaunt. Don't do that.
I'll do my best. I hope to God someone calls me gaunt one day.
Kelly, so gaunt.
Rob Moreno called me Santa Claus the other day. I almost called HR.
Yeah.
I don't think we have an HR.
But that got a big laugh from behind the glass.
Many people laugh.
I was going to say the whole crew would be in on HR. James Sott, loved the Lifestyle Pod yesterday, but one question. Maybe we can ask Crack later when he comes in about a great place to get a prime rib, same place as a steaks. Okay, we'll ask him that. Jason H11, another great Vegas Lifestyle Pod. I love learning about restaurants to try on my next visit. Oh, we're all about the restaurants. Rhodes knows I tuned in yesterday for the Kendrick Drake beef. I assume today you guys will cover the Tupac Biggie beef. Thanks, guys. Yeah, you see, even this is my, again, that... Yeah, now that was a beef because it resulted in two deaths, for God's sakes, and gunfire. My goodness. This Kendrick Drake stuff is all performative. Bobby Knuckles, workshopping a few more rap names for the crew. Gil is the notorious ANG. And in honor of Kendrick, Kung Fu Kelly for Kelly. The RGB. Hey, guys, let's not forget about the...
thought it was Santa Claus, Kelly, Rob Moreno.
RGB, let's not forget about the flyover prop. That cashed nicely last year. You know who we're going to have to rely on?
Oh, Weingarten.
Jason Weingarten. Yeah. Because he has Pentagon connections. Yeah, he do. Yeah, he do. Brian M.
Yeah, that's really a real thing. That is a thing.
I think it is a thing. I think Kelly needs the top hat calling himself a noble gentleman. I don't know. You got to stop voice texting into these because I got it right. Anyway.
Oh, they won't be put on the hat again.
For the noble gentleman. I got you. Thank you for all the tweets. We'll read some more coming out over there. James Sott says the lights went out in the arena. That's why the match had to stop a couple times. DeYoung wins it. Again, for subscribers, so plus 146 dog for us hits. That's a nice bounce back from yesterday's show picks. We got two more again, as we mentioned. Basilashvili, preceded by Bellucci, coming up. Okay, are you ready?
Let's do it.
Are we sure? Estamos seguros?
I got a nice mix for you today, okay?
All right.
Are we sure the NFL should rename the Lombardi Trophy to the Brady Trophy, like Bill Belichick said yesterday?
No, we're not sure, Bill, if I may call you Bill. Did Lombardi put that in your ear? I'm just saying. No, we can't do that, because what if Patrick Mahomes then wins more Super Bowls than Tom Brady does? Then we're going to have to change it to the Mahomes Trophy? No, Vince Lombardi won Super Bowls 1 and 2. That should be the name in perpetuity, period.
Yeah, I think that was the immediate reaction for most people yesterday was like, well, we're just going to have to change it to the Mahomes Trophy in about 3 years. Yeah. So, yeah, I'm with you there. Okay, are we sure? You should be betting Patrick Mahomes to win Super Bowl MVP if you like the Chiefs to win the Super Bowl.
I thought that was an original thought. Now you're telling me everybody had the same thought. Yeah, it's the correct thought.
I saw it once or twice. Okay,
wait, what was the question?
Are we sure you should be betting Patrick Mahomes to win Super Bowl MVP if you're betting the Chiefs money line?
No, because the price difference, I'm a big believer that if they win, he probably wins it. But the price difference isn't enough. Though it has drifted a little
to
plus 120.
Dude, it keeps drifting. I was going to say, I disagree with you.
Well, no, I'm seeing it now for the first time. I was under the impression it was plus 105. Now it's plus 120. We're getting to the point that we should consider it now. But before, I would have said, no, the price difference isn't enough to justify it. In the case of Saquon, yes, at plus 260. If you think that the Eagles are going to win it and you think that the path to victory is Saquon, then I would say, okay. Mahomes is starting to drift to the price where I would say we're about to get there, but not quite yet.
Interesting. First of all, why are we? Are we really not taking Patrick Mahomes Super Bowl MVP bets?
Yeah,
everybody's just chasing long shots. Is that what it is?
I got to tell you, plus 120. Now I'm starting.
I mean, you're
to say,
talking about a 50-cent difference between where the money line's at now and where his MVP price
plus
is.
Plus 105, which is what I thought it was coming into this. I was prepared to say no, yeah, but right. Plus 120, you might.
I mean, even we were talking about it the other day, I still thought that my 35-cent difference was too much. Now you're talking about 50? Man, that's extreme. Are we sure Saquon Barkley should be minus 190 to score a touchdown in this game?
I'd have to run the number, so I can't be sure, but it sounds about right to me. And I'm sure they've done the pricing properly on that.
Yeah, he was like minus 230, I think, last week. So, if anything, you're getting a discount from a week ago. Okay, are we sure people... I like this. Are we sure people should be betting the over on Patrick Mahomes' rushing prop given past Super Bowl results, Gil?
Of course not. No. I mean, what are we talking about? First of all, I thought his performance rushing against the Bills was an anomaly, right? I think we can all agree with that. Like, that's not a typical Patrick Mahomes rushing output. So a lot of people with the ultimate recency bias will be like, oh my God, Mahomes over rushing yards. But we know famously what has happened is that one of the more famous gambling moments of the last 5 years was Patrick Mahomes taking two consecutive 7-yard kneels, right? Like, no, you absolutely should not be sure to take the over on
Mahomes. And I'm pretty sure, I think that number's, 29.5 right now. Mahomes, pretty sure we were right in that same territory that year. Like, yes. It was like 27.5. He got to like 33, I think, and then went backwards.
Because Patrick Mahomes doesn't just kneel. He runs back. He like backpedals 7 yards.
Which was intelligent, right? It was, let me take as much time off the clock, protect myself.
Patrick Mahomes does not care about your bets.
Not at all. Yeah. Not at all. All right. Are we sure?
Yeah.
Jaden Daniels is the best quarterback in the National Football Conference.
I am.
I think I'm almost there.
If I'm doing my quarterback rankings, he's fifth, and the other four are AFC quarterbacks in front of him.
I'm trying to think who else.
I mean, are you putting Hurts in front of him? Or are you putting Stafford because of past work in front of him?
I was going to go Stafford, but then it's like almost hard to compare those two. Like, what resumes are we comparing, right? Like a guy who's been here 1 year and then we're going off. It's kind of like what Zach said. Now we're going off a body of work, right?
I am sure, Kelly Bidlin. You asked me, am I sure? That's my
answer.
Are
we sure the NBA should consider shortening quarters to 10 minutes like Adam Silver suggests?
Yeah, if y'all missed this yesterday, Adam Silver wants to go international. He's smart, though. He floats it. And then he realizes it's going to have to happen over time.
Yeah.
Like, can't happen overnight. So he floats the idea and then he'll back it up like a few months from now or a year from now. I'm not sure, but I think Adam Silver will get his way. I think this is going to happen eventually.
All right. I got to get to this last one. Are we really, really, really sure Joe Cirillo and Taylor Fritz aren't brothers?
I was the first person to make that comparison. I'm not sure.
Okay.
Dead ringers. Look at that.
Look at this.
Wait, that's not Cirillo on the right.
Yes, it is.
Come on. It's the exact same person. It's amazing.
Go Cirillo in tomorrow.
MVP talk coming up.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Back on a numbers game, Super Bowl 59 upon us. And Kelly, so many ways to bet this. The most obvious bet by proxy, if you were looking to bet something beyond just the side, would be, of course, Super Bowl MVP. We've had 58 of these prior to this one, 58. And let's look at some historical stats on these just to give us some context before you place your bet, if you are considering placing a bet for Super Bowl 59 MVP. Let's break it down in several ways. Let's start with, you know, just again, Patrick Mahomes, just to let everybody know, not only are the Chiefs trying to be the first back-to-back-to-back Super Bowl winner in this era, but he's also trying to be the first back-to-back-to-back Super Bowl MVP ever. Mm-hmm. There have only been two previous players to win back-to-backs. That was Terry Bradshaw with the Steelers in the 70s, and before that, Bart Starr of the Green Bay Packers in Super Bowls 1 and 2. So Mahomes trying to set a little personal history here as well. As I look at that graphic, the last 10 MVP results, you see the two Mahomeses. He was a short plus money proposition at that point. That's exactly what he is now.
Yeah.
This year.
Which is interesting because we've talked about that price drifting a bit, but look at it kind of getting right in line with what it was the past 2 years.
He was plus 125 last year. He was plus 130 the year before when he won MVPs for the Chiefs. He started out in very short plus money. When this two-week period began, he is now at plus 120. Remember the Cooper Kupp win the year before that when Cooper Kupp took it home at 6-1? I had an Aaron Donald ticket that year, and I felt so shortchanged. I absolutely thought, I was convinced, we were doing the Super Bowl at the South Point.
Yep.
I was convinced Aaron Donald was winning the MVP that year, and they gave it to Cooper Kupp. Couldn't believe it. Couldn't believe that. And, of course, the other one that is noteworthy in terms of them doing the old okey-doke on us was Mahomes' first Super Bowl MVP. Remember, there was a first one. This will be his fourth. Not only back-to-back-to-back, it won't be his third, it'll be his fourth, because he won one back in Super Bowl 54. And remember, that was the one where we all thought Damian Williams was going to win it for the Chiefs, and they gave it to Mahomes. And then there's the Tom Brady Super Bowl, if you recall back in the day, where we didn't think Brady would win it. And that would go to James White. That was the Super Bowl against the Falcons, I believe.
And Damian Williams still remains. He's the only running back to go over 100 yards in the past 10 years, I believe is the stat I saw, in the Super Bowl.
This ain't your mom and dad's NFL, right? That's for sure. So those are the last 10. And again, Mahomes trying to make history here. Let's take a look at this in another sort of contextual way in terms of Super Bowl history. This is Super Bowl MVP history winners by position. So of the 58 Super Bowls that have already taken place, no surprise, quarterback by far the leader in the clubhouse, 33 of those 58 have gone to the signal caller. 33 have gone to the quarterback. The defense as a catch-all would be second at 10. Though we don't break down defense by position, we throw them all in together. So 10 defensive players have won Super Bowl MVP. 7 running backs, most of those, as you just suggested, Kelly, sort of back in the day. Mm. 5 wideouts. And then 1 kick returner / punt returner. Do you remember who that was?
Desmond Howard
for the Green Bay Packers at the time. Heisman Trophy winner, Super Bowl MVP, Desmond Howard. By the way, the last defensive player, in case you were wondering, to win Super Bowl MVP, you have to go back to Von Miller of the Denver Broncos, Super Bowl 50. So that's what? That's 9 Super Bowls ago, including this one. 9 Super Bowls ago, Von Miller of the Denver Broncos. From the turn of the century, from the year 2000, a grand total of 4 defensive players have won it. So we'll get to this year's odds coming up momentarily in case you're considering that. By the way, here are Super Bowl MVP history winners by position since 1998. So not quite exactly the turn of the century, but a couple years before that. Quarterback still by far the leader. 16 since 1998 have been a quarterback. 5 wideouts. And those are the 4 defensive players I was just talking about. 3 linebackers and 1 defensive back. Do you remember who the defensive back was?
No.
Dexter Jackson Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
That's right.
After the 2002 season.
And this one notable because 98, the last time we did have a running back win Super Bowl MVP. So if you are kind of considering making some of those bets, which I'm sure a lot of people are this year with Saquon Barkley, that's the last time we've had one.
Here is that list of defensive players. Thank you guys for these this historical, in case you were considering a play on, I don't know, a Jalen Carter, taking a flyer on a Jalen Carter or a Zach Bond or somebody in this Super Bowl. There's Von Miller with the Broncos at linebacker in 2016. Malcolm Smith a couple years before that. Before that, you have to go back more than a decade to that Dexter Jackson Super Bowl MVP. By the way, that's after the 2002 season, early 2003. Ray Lewis, of course, the most famous. They were, they wanted to give this to Ray Lewis when the Ravens crush the Giants after the 2000 season. Before that, Larry Brown of the Cowboys. Did Larry Brown have three picks in that game, as I recall? He might have. And then the famous 1985 Chicago Bears, the team of the Super Bowl shuffle and what many consider to be the greatest defensive team of all time. Well, Jim McMahon wasn't going to get it. Sweetness didn't score because they gave the ball to Refrigerator Perry. They gave it to Richard Dent, one of the stalwarts of that great Bears defense after the 1985 season. So those are the last six Super Bowl MVPs to have won on the defensive side of the ball.
I think I'm seeing two interceptions for Larry Brown, but what I think you're making a good point there, because if you're going to pick
two, yeah.
If you're going to pick a defensive player to win, it's got to be that type of production, right? You're talking multiple sacks usually, or multiple picks in a big situation in the game. Just something to keep in mind. I don't know about you. There's some interesting defensive names this year, but nobody I'm really gravitating to towards for a bet, just because it feels more random with the defensive players, right? Like you need a pass rusher almost that you can count on getting multiple sacks and one of them coming in a big moment.
Yeah, I think I was thinking of Rod Martin, who I think picked off three passes with the Raiders, Super Bowl 15, and they still gave it to Jim Plunkett that year when the Raiders beat the Eagles. As far as this year's Super Bowl MVP odds, Super Bowl 59, as we mentioned, Patrick Mahomes plus 120, the short shot. We were debating this, is Patrick Mahomes, if you believe the Chiefs are winning the Super Bowl, do you bet Patrick Mahomes by proxy at plus 120, thinking there's no possible way, especially given that Damian Williams story I just told, or just referred to, is there any possible way that the Chiefs win the Super Bowl and Patrick Mahomes does not win the MVP? Remember the big thing about voting on Super Bowl MVP, which I think is a note that we don't emphasize enough, as opposed to season-long awards. Season-long awards, voters get to pontificate, get to, you know, equivocate about this in their heads for weeks on end,
mm-hmm.
and they have data points from week to week to consider. This is done on the fly during one game. So a lot of these folks put in their ballots after the third quarter. You know, we already know the winner sometimes. I don't know if they do this anymore, but we used to know the winner. This is a true story. We used to know the winner before the game ended. Doug Williams is your Super Bowl MVP before the game was even done. Mahomes is plus 120. Saquon plus 260, Jalen Hurts plus 350. Same question applies. If you believe the Eagles are going to win the Super Bowl, do you instead, or maybe in addition to, but instead is the more interesting question, do you put a bet on Barkley and or Hurts, given that bang for your buck?
Yeah, I think if I were betting the Eagles side, I would be adding, I would probably add some piece of Barkley. That's what I've been saying. However, we did speak to Zach Cohen earlier, who brought up an interesting prop for this game where you're getting a little better number on Saquon Barkley to have two or more touchdowns.
Mm.
What are the odds he wins this without having two touchdowns? I guess is a good conversation. So you're getting plus 290 on that. I think I'd almost rather bet that then.
It's an interesting thing to consider.
Yeah, I hadn't really thought about it until we just spoke to Zach about it. But
of course, if you bet the two touchdowns plus, and then he gets one touchdown and reels off 200 yards, and he still wins MVP, you're going to hate yourself.
And that's the scenario.
Yeah. Beyond those three, everybody else is double digits and beyond. Travis Kelce being the shortest of those at 15-1. And then it's 28-1 and longer, starting with Xavier Worthy. If I came to you from the future, Kelly Bidlin, and I said, guess what? They played Super Bowl 59, Patrick Mahomes, Saquon Barkley, Jalen Hurts. None of those three won. Who won it? Who's the bet?
I want to say Xavier Worthy, but I couldn't bet him at that number.
28-1, not
enough?
Yeah,
I couldn't bet him at that number.
Who would it be then?
Dallas Goedert, maybe. Ooh. Dallas Goedert. No, my answer still would be Xavier Worthy. But like, I'm just saying, if you're not giving me the money, I'm not making that bet.
By the way, if we could ever have like a 12-3 Super Bowl, would they give it to a place kicker?
I don't think so.
I'm just saying, like, Harrison Butker, 200-1.
I think it's got to be like 18-3.
What about like a D-Hop? Could he all of a sudden show up at 200-1?
He could.
DeAndre Hopkins? The lowest defensive player, Chris Jones of the Chiefs at 60-1, Jalen Carter of the Eagles at 70-1, followed closely by Bon and Karlaftis for the Eagles and Chiefs, respectively, both at 90-1. Super Bowl MVP, not just an interesting market into or unto itself, but also as a vehicle to bet by proxy if you don't really think betting the side is sexy enough. Nice way to perhaps give you more bang for your buck. Coming back right here on A Numbers Game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.